Each of you here today either desires with your whole heart or on some level to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Many of you, some of you here today, are curious about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And in our gospel today, Jesus lays out a couple of the things that he expects his apostles, that is, his followers, to do. One is that he sends them two by two. Why? I remember when I was discerning my own vocation, trying to figure out what God was calling me to, my mom said that she had always envisioned me standing on a street corner in New York City as a friar or a monk preaching the gospel. And I remember her telling me that and how scared I felt when she told me that. And I was scared because it felt lonely. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why one of the first things that Jesus does is he gives these first preachers of the church, these first followers, a companion for the journey. He sends them out two by two. Brothers and sisters, one of the reasons why you do not effectively preach the gospel is because sometimes it's scary to do alone. It's hard for me to, you know, speak out on at the workplace when somebody's saying something that they shouldn't, because I'm going to be the only one who speaks up. That's not always true. It's hard for me to reach out and tell people more about Jesus because I do it alone. And today Jesus, I believe, is challenging us to not do it alone. For those of you who are married, it means doing that preaching of the gospel with your spouse. That's the way God's designed it. And it can be in very simple ways. I saw a couple down at the hardware store yesterday. They were wearing matching Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville t-shirts. Well, fine, fun. But you could also wear matching Jesus t-shirts. And yeah, they'll probably look at you and think, oh, look at those holy rollers. They'll make fun of you. But isn't that what Jesus said would happen if we're doing it right? That we will be persecuted? Blessed are those who are persecuted, he said. Or find somebody in the parish or a friend that can be a support to you, even if you're, say, getting together for coffee once a week to kind of talk about your spiritual life and what God's doing inside of you. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, that we have a companion on this journey when we go out to preach the gospel. Jesus also says to us to take nothing for the journey. Now, we know he doesn't mean this literally because he turns right around and says, take a walking stick and you can have sandals. Not shoes, sandals. Would Jesus come in today and say, well, take off those shoes and put on sandals? Probably not. So we know that he doesn't want us to take it literally, but he is very serious about the poverty, about the reliance on God that preaching the gospel means. He says, take no food, no sack, no money, no tunic. Second tunic. I was telling someone recently about a group of friars in New York City who often beg for their food. And they would go door to door with a basket or a bucket or something and take whatever scraps they could find. And this guy was just appalled. He was like, what's wrong with them? They can't work for their food? I said, no, they could. And he said, then why don't they? And he was mad. You see, in America, we have, many of us, this drive to be so self-sufficient, to provide, that it seems shameful to have to ask for help. But asking for help can be a great opportunity for preaching the gospel. One of the things I've had to learn as your pastor, I grew up in a family where my dad was definitely a do-it-yourselfer. Having to call you guys and ask for help is humbling, but it also gives me an opportunity to preach the gospel. And it doesn't mean I'm going to call you up and say, hey, you heard about this guy named Jesus, blah, 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 right? It could be the way we treat each other, the way we interact. It might give you the opportunity to ask a question that you've been wanting to ask. You see, guys, when we ask for help, this forces human interaction and creates an opportunity to preach the gospel. We need the help of others so that we can preach to them the love and the kindness and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But he tells them to take nothing for the journey also so that they'll rely on God totally. How many of us sitting here today are relying on our own efforts primarily? We do this when our first check we write each month is not to the church. We're relying on our own efforts. When we recognize everything from that God gives, then we're relying on his efforts first. And lastly, I think that Jesus sends them out, telling them to take nothing so that they'll be focused on the task at hand. And we know this is true because he goes on to say this: wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Now, how many of you have ever entered a house and not stayed there until you left? I mean, sounds strange, doesn't it? But the point that he's trying to make is that if I journey to a town and I'm preaching the gospel and I show up at house A and house A says, well, Father Matt, we have this nice twin bed for you and there's a communal bathroom for you and we'll be serving Sloppy Joe's for dinner. I'd be happy. I love Sloppy Joe's, right? But then this other guy comes over and he says, Father Matt, why don't you come over to my house? I've got ribeyes. I've got a king-size bed and a nice bathroom for you, and I'll pay you $5,000. Just stay with me. There's a temptation there, right? That the preacher, the one going around preaching the gospel, would say, well, thanks for the Sloppy Joes, guys, but I need to go preach the gospel to them too, wink, wink. And so he says, stay in the house that you're in instead of jumping around trying to get the best deal. Why? Because you tend to get wrapped up in what's best in this life, instead of focusing on the gospel, which is all about what's best in the next life. Brothers and sisters, many of you take great pride in your work, and that is good. But sometimes we take too much pride in trying to be so self-sufficient that we never ask anybody for help. We never rely on anyone else, which gives them the opportunity to hear the gospel and to show us hospitality. Lastly, it says in the gospel that they went off and preached repentance. And this really struck me when I read it yesterday. Because sometimes I think we don't preach repentance. We preach something else. For probably months now, as your pastor, I felt very much off my game. I go home from Mass on Sunday and I'm drained and I'm upset and I'm discouraged. I'm short with people, I'm angry, and I've been reflecting on that a lot lately, and I think part of it is I know I don't like that about myself because I know I'm not preaching repentance. Sometimes I end up preaching condemnation, sometimes I don't show the love and the depth of love of Jesus Christ or the attention that Jesus Christ would give to each of you. Repentance is defined as this: to feel such regret for past conduct as to change one's mind regarding it, or to make a change for the better as a result of remorse or contrition for one's sins. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to preach repentance, I'm going to be the first to say I'm sorry, that I'm remorseful for the times that I've been short with you, or the times that I haven't shown you the depth of love that Jesus has for you. And this doesn't mean that we shy away from the truth. When we preach repentance, and this is, I tried to imagine, what were these first apostles going around doing? Were they going around saying, repent, repent? No, they would go around sharing the truth of Jesus' love, but also the truth about how Jesus wants you to live, as was in our opening prayer today. You see, there can be a tendency sometimes, guys, as we go to one extreme, and this is maybe the tendency of a generation or two ago, to condemn the sinner. I mean, how many of you have come up to me and you start talking politics, and next thing you know, Barack Obama's the Antichrist? Well, guys, that's not Christian love. But on the other end is to say we want to love people so much that we write off sin as it's just humanness. The Christian does not shy away from the truth. The Christian does not shy away from the way Jesus wants us to live. but we always do it in conjunction with preaching repentance, which is Jesus' message of healing and hope, to never be discouraged, to never be weighed down by one's sins. Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Then you must preach the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's not going around telling people or thinking that people are going to go to hell for their behaviors or their beliefs. That's the gospel of condemnation. It's not changing the truth to accommodate somebody, to make them feel better. That's the gospel of inclusiveness. We preach the gospel of repentance that says there's a right and a wrong, and that Jesus is waiting eagerly to forgive us when we do wrong. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you must be willing, guys, to set aside this attitude of, I'll do it myself. I can do it on my own. Because you can't. He sent his first apostles out with nothing so that they would rely on God and so that they would rely on each other. We cannot do it without God. Brothers and sisters, we cannot do it without each other.